say, our Gujarati people say, Khali Mahino. It is an empty month. Other people regard it as an unlucky month. This is totally out of ignorance and totally because we are involved in a lot of superstition. Otherwise, this month is equal like any other month. Many people, especially our older people, they say in this month don't keep any nikah. Because it is an unlucky month, you must not keep nikah, any marriage in this month. This is totally against the teachings of Islam. And any person who will make a nikah in this month, he will get much more reward from Allah Ta'ala because he will be breaking a very wrong tradition, which is totally against Iman, which is totally against Islam and the teachings of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was a tradition of the people of before that they used to accept that this month is an unlucky month. Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and Islam came and broke this wrong belief in people. But unfortunately, we find it still lingers along with many people. There are many days and there are many months which are blessed undoubtedly. The month of Ramadan, Thursday night, etc. There are many other occasions which are very blessed. But there are no occasions which are unlucky or anything like that. For us to believe in any superstition, it is going against the very grain of Iman. And it is tantamount and equal to shirk. There are various forms of shirk and associating partners to Allah Ta'ala. And in believing that anything else has power besides Allah Ta'ala is equaling anything as far as power is concerned to Allah Ta'ala. For example, many of us unfortunately still have this notion that if we are driving along the road and a cat crosses in front, that now it is dangerous, an accident or something will take place. This is sheer superstition. The crossing of the road, like a little riddle, that why did the hand go from one side of the road to the other side? Because it wanted to, it had some work, whatever, it had to cross. It had to cross, the cat has to cross, it has runs around, it has to do its things. Where has that crossing of the cat got the power to make an accident in front? Qudrat is solely with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. All good and bad that comes to us from the power of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. What has the cat crossing a road got to do with that? In the same way, unfortunately, there are still many pious people, so to say. Lot of ibadat they make. They are very religious in their way. But the cat must just meow at night and they are sure that we're going to get news of somebody's death in the morning. What has the meowing of the cat got to do with somebody's life and death? That is in the hands of Allah. So much it has come in the hadith, it has come in the Quran, that Allah is the giver of life, Allah is the taker of life, Allah is the giver of death. The cat meowing for a Muslim, a person who believes in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who knows the teachings and the pure teachings of Tawheed of the Quran and of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after 1400 years, still even to have that slight notion in the head that because the cat meowed, now we're going to get a call or something that somebody has passed away. The meowing of the cat and the crying of it at night has to do with its mating, etc. That is something totally different. What has that got to do with life and death? In a similar way, there are people who still believe that certain numbers, for example, are unlucky. That 13 is an unlucky number. Or any other number is unlucky. People still have it, fear the Ides of March. There is absolutely nothing like that as far as our deen and our Quran and hadith is concerned. And for Muslims to have such beliefs is a very poor reflection of our iman. If a person's iman is strong, this is the correct thing to make our iman strong. The more a person will make effort on iman, we go out in jamaat and we make effort on iman, we give talks on iman, we listen to talks of iman. We come back with a sheikh and with his tarbiyat and his teachings of what iman is and cultivating that reality by zikr of that everything happens only by the will of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will dispel all these superstitions. When a person will give more and more da'wat of iman and say that everything happens only by the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then all these superstitions and all these things will go out of life. Together with the superstition is coupled fear. When a person believes in superstition, then he has got all the time fear upon him. That poor lady or that poor man who heard the cat meowing at night, the poor person can't sleep, his temperature goes up now. I don't know whose number is it now. Is it my wife that is going? Is it my brother that is going? Who is going? Just because the cat meowed, he can't get his sleep properly now. Now he's disturbed, his health is disturbed. Weakness of iman. If a person has got iman, he has got no worry whatsoever. So it is absolutely necessary that we make effort on iman. And we strengthen our iman and we dispel these fears and these superstitions from our lives. Because as I mentioned, this is equal to shirk. It is to a certain level and to a certain amount of associating partners with Allah Ta'ala. Shirk is that guna which Allah Ta'ala will never forgive. Allah will forgive, Allah Ta'ala says, all other gunas, but the guna of shirk Allah Ta'ala will not forgive. So it is very necessary that we make this effort. In our homes also, let us have kitab reading regularly. Let us have tilawat of Quran. Let our ladies attend the ladies' programs and listen to the talks of iman so that all these superstitions can go out of our lives. More or less it has been narrated, لا صفر ولا طير ولا هام. There is nothing of the superstition and the fears with regard to the month of Safar. And the Arabs had a habit that if they had something, they wanted to go on a journey, for example, or there was a court case that was going to take place, or whatever else, then they would take a bird and let it fly. And for example, if it flies in the right direction, they said it is lucky. And if it flies in the left direction, it is unlucky. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam negated all such superstitions. That there is absolutely nothing like that. That if the bird is going to fly in the left direction, and the Arabs have many other things like this, that there is absolutely nothing like that. So, as Muslims, we must dispel all these superstitions, and our lives will become much more better to live when we don't live in the sphere of these things. And there are many other practices, unfortunately, which are still found in our people. In certain people, on the day there is going to be a marriage, the boy is going to get married, then the groom in his car has to run down a fowl. A certain color of a fowl is let loose and he has to run it down with his car. We might laugh, but unfortunately, in our country, these type of practices and beliefs still exist. That he has to do it. Poor fowl, he's getting married and the poor fowl has to be run down. Is this Islam? And is this the picture of Islam we're going to give? If we have got some domestic workers or somebody and they have to see this thing taking place, what picture of Islam do they get? That this is what Islam teaches. So we must educate ourselves. Keep contact, alhamdulillah, there is enough Islamic literature in English now. We have got no excuse. We have got time for the evil TV and we have got time for other things. Wallah, let us do a favor to ourselves. We take half an hour out, sit with the family and read a few of this proper Islamic books. Read it for 5 minutes with the whole family and educate the whole family. In a short while, we will see how much we will educate ourselves. As far as aqaids are concerned, beliefs, Kitabul Iman, there's a book in English. In fact, there are 2-3 of the type. Then, as far as our masalas are concerned, there's Kitabul Taharat, there's Kitabul Salat. There are so many kitabs that are available now. Let us sit with the family for about half an hour and read from each kitab for about 5-7 minutes. And we will see in a short while how much we will educate ourselves and we will get rid of these wrong beliefs. Together with that, I mentioned about these unlucky numbers, there is absolutely nothing like that. Then also another thing, just not really directly related to this, but we will just mention it in passing, is jadu and jinnat. Jadu is a reality in the Quran, there is no doubt about it, Allah has referred to it. But we have overplayed it so much that anything that goes wrong, So many instances. One lady very presently now, she also was so much in her head that she is affected. One night, her brother phoned and said that she has taken a very bad turn and all of them are concerned it is some jadu. What was it? She had pneumonia. This is the season for it. Everyone gets fever and everything. She had to be taken to hospital. A pure medical thing. But once this doubt goes in the head, this wahim, then to take it out is practically impossible. Many a person, wise person said, there is ilaj, there is treatment for everything, but for wahim, there is no treatment. When we were studying in Deoband, there was one Maulana Sultan Sahib who was the librarian. And he was very famous and people from far, far places should come to him for treatment of this jadu, jinnat, etc. And he told us very, very clearly, he said it is all, 99% of the cases are just fake. And a person, if you tell him there is nothing wrong, there is no jadu, he won't accept it. He'll think this person doesn't know his work. And when you tell him, no, you got jadu and very strong jadu, then he's very happy. And then he says, now that is a very strong Maulana, very strong Maulsab. And if the Maulsab have to say, your jadu is so old and so long, now it's very hard to take it out, they believe in that Maulsab even more. Hey, all this type of things, and these people, these amils, they are really amils, 99% of them fake. They steal a person's money in a very sophisticated way. Many of them we feel so genuine, they don't even ask fees. And in that way, they even extract more than what normally their fees would have been. Their fees, what could they put? 50 rand, 100, 200 rand. But when a person goes for this treatment, he gives 500 rand, he gives 1000 rand. They steal a person's money. They steal a person's iman. Hey, they steal a person's iman and make him believe in so many wrong things. Thirdly, very, very sadly, how many of our women's izzat is taken? In such a way that that woman will never speak. Can she ever speak that she went and a certain Malisab or a certain Amin did this and did this to me? Sometimes in confidence we know of cases, terrible cases. Never expose our woman to this. It is totally wrong. And if you have to at any time, ask one of the local ulama whom you have trust in, who should you go to? And never let your wife or your daughter ever be alone with a medical doctor. Never let her be alone with any amil also. You must be present. Or another lady must be present. Never let them be alone. And then fourthly, they make enmity amongst people. They know how to extract the information. There isn't the time to go in details. But we know of how many cases they know how to extract information and then they come out in such a way as if they're telling you things and you get surprised. We are so naive and so simple-minded. They extract that information from us and then they tell you that this and this happened to you or whatever. And they put the blame on the mother-in-law. They put the blame on the mother. How many cases they have made fights between mother and son, mother and daughter, and separated and broken up homes. This is not at all the work of a person who gives any treatment. So these people must be avoided totally. There is jadu, but its effect is also very limited. And it can only have its effect by the will of Allah Ta'ala. And we have been given the prescription. Our three quls, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Damat Barakatuhum says, read your three quls with Bismillah. Every morning and every evening. No jadu, jinnat can ever affect you. And at the same time, the reward of it is so great, pass that sawab to our marhums. We'll be doing two things at one time. We'll be protecting ourselves, and we will be doing a great favor to our marhums. And then the other is Ayatul Kursi. Let us read Ayatul Kursi after every faraz namaz, and no such things can ever affect us. The other thing is, these things that, where there is nothing like jadu, but we think there is some jadu. It comes from the weakness of iman also. It comes from a weak mind, and it comes from pride. A person feels I'm somebody, so somebody is jealous about me. And because he's jealous, he has done something to me. Okay, barnu kari didelu che. Barnu is the TV. That is the outside thing that is destroying us. There is no other barnu, nothing like that. When we feel that we are somebody, we have got some pride in us, and we are somebody, I'm very rich, I'm very clever, I'm very handsome, or whatever, that I think of myself, the next person doesn't think of me at all like that. Putting your own price has got no value. If somebody else puts a price on you, that has got value. Otherwise, everyone will put his own price at whatever level he wants to. But that if a person puts his property's price, ₹500,000, by putting it, the price doesn't make that thing ₹500,000. What the people are prepared to pay, that is the value of that property. So I can praise myself all along and think of myself somebody very big and that I'm the best and everything. That has got no value whatsoever. So when a person suffers from this disease of pride, then he feels that this person in the family or that person has done something to me. And the weakness of iman and the weakness of one's mind. This is then when shaitan takes advantage of a person. For that reason, if a person, and very much it is stressed also by our elders in Hidayat-i Bayan when jamaats go out, make sure that the person sleeps properly and eats properly. When a person the first time, for example, he goes in jamaat, he's overwhelmed by jamaat. Now, till late at night, he's making tilawat, he's making zikr, he wants to keep rozas, etc. It affects his mind. The next now you'll find that he's claiming he's in this sky and he's meeting this farishta and he's meeting that Nabi. Or the next you find that he thinks that jadu is made on him and this is happening and that is happening. Whole lot of things. So it is very necessary that a person must eat properly, and we all eat properly, we don't have to do that more. And a person must sleep properly, take his rest properly. And another thing as far as sleep is concerned, many of us, we'll sacrifice our sleep for other things. I was so surprised to hear with regard to the World Cup, till what time people used to stay awake. They have to go to work the next day, taking a few tablets and living on the tablets. This is most harmful for a person. Bringing these chemicals in the system of the body and upsetting the one system, this is the most harmful. If a person sometimes for some valid reason have to stay awake, then he must stay awake, otherwise take your rest properly. Take your full rest, it is very essential for health. When a person doesn't sleep properly, eat properly, he becomes weak, he is attacked by shaitan. Then shaitan has a full run over that person. So respected elders and brothers, this is the month of Safar, but let us dispel all the superstitions, whether it is with regard to the month of Safar or all any other type of superstition. At the same time also any unlucky numbers, any unlucky time of the year, there is nothing like that whatsoever. And then again, with regard to jadu, jinnat, it is a reality, but it is just overplayed. In most cases, it's medical problems, there are other problems. Maulana Sultan of Deoband, he told us, a wife is now tired of staying with her mother-in-law. Then she cooks up some story. And she makes it in such a way that they all accept it. He says he has to somehow please them and get, and she finds out the truth and then he tries to try and sort it out. Sometimes the wife is tired of the husband now. And she can't come out of it in any other way, especially in India. Then she'll make some jadu story. And she'll come up with some funny story just to be separated from her husband. So these things, in 99% of these cases, they are all fakes, nothing like that. And really, my dear brothers, the solution for our medical problems, for our financial problems, read our five times namaz. In that house where there isn't namaz, there isn't tilawat, you see the problems are in those places. Read our namazes. Let there be tilawat in our homes. No Muslim individual must stay without tilawat ever. In our homes, make sure that every member of the family makes tilawat of the Quran. Whether it's one ruku, one page, a quarter supara, that Quran tilawat in our homes is an absolute necessity. We don't have namaz in our homes, we don't have tilawat of the Quran in our homes, the TV is on, music is blaring all the time, and very sadly, photography, photos are displayed in our homes today. All evils are present. Then what is going to happen? Shaitan has full control of that home. So the effort that we must make is deen must come in that home. In whichever way, try and encourage them to go out in jamaat, encourage them, speak to them about deen, about namaz in the home, in our lives. read and tilawat of the Quran and ta'aleem in our homes, bring these things, and I can guarantee you there is no problem of jadu and jinnat and anything else. Medical, actual medical problems you will find, they will start disappearing also. When deen will come in our homes. The Sahaba had deen, there was no room for any doctor in Medina Munawwara. Because when deen comes in a person's life, there is no necessity of all these things. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of building our iman, making it stronger, educating ourselves as far as the matters of deen are concerned, and saving us from all these superstitious and wrong ideas and beliefs. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah.
Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. فقد قال الله تعالى لا تثريب عليكم اليوم صدق الله العظيم. This is one little phrase, one little saying of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran. Very briefly, with regard to the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, his stepbrothers had great enmity and jealousy for him, because of which they tried and kill him, they dropped him, they put him down in a well, etc. Allah Ta'ala wanted to give him great honor, and Allah Ta'ala put him on the throne of Egypt. And his brothers and his family came in great difficulty. They came to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam for wheat, etc., because it was a time of drought. He helped them, and finally the time came when they realized that this is our brother Yusuf alayhi salam, whom we had hated so much, and we had so much jealousy for him. Today we are in need of him. So at that point, this words Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to his brothers, and there is a very great lesson for us to learn in our day-to-day, in our practical life. And if we can bring this lesson within us, we will see that without exaggeration, at least half, and very much more than half, of our disillusion, of our when we are feeling down, when we are feeling sad, etc., that will be left out. It will solve so much of our problems if this lesson, which is in the Quran, and Allah Ta'ala has narrated the whole story of Yusuf alayhi salam in the Quran, not to tell us just a story, but to take the lessons from here. And there are many more lessons from this instance and story of Yusuf alayhi salam. At this point we are discussing this particular one. The brothers were very greatly ashamed, of course. They were much more senior in age. They were supposed to be much more mature to do such a thing to their younger brother. And especially at that age when he could not fend for himself, when he could do nothing. And not only that, they put so much hurt in the father's heart. Because the father, Yaqub alayhi salam, loved his son Yusuf alayhi salam very greatly. And what they did to Yusuf alayhi salam, the father was hurting very greatly as well. In spite of all this, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says one word, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no revenge upon you. He did not even mention that you people did this to me, and you did that to me, and you did that to me. And he was not so to show, make a showcase out of his character, that in spite of you having done all that, today I'm overlooking it and I'm forgetting it. He just said in one word, in one phrase, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Whatever you have done, you know what you have done, but there is no revenge whatsoever. And this very same words Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the occasion when Makkah was being conquered. When the people of Makkah, what and what did they not do to the Sahaba, to the Muslims? How much didn't they hurt them, persecute them, insult them? What and what did they not do to the Sahaba, to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself? As the army of the Muslims comes from Medina to Makkah Mukarrama, one Sahaba starts saying the words that today is the day of revenge. Al-yawma yawmul malhama. That we are going to take revenge from the people of Makkah today. We are huge in numbers. Makkah, they have been defeated today. And they won't be able to do anything to stand in front of us. And the normal procedure of any king, of any army, when he conquers any place, the Quran has recorded that also. And what is that? إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا. Whenever an army and a ruler enters another place and he conquers that place, then he causes great destruction. What happens to the people of that place? What happens to their women? What happens to their property? We know when an army conquers a land, what and what they do. So the people of Mecca were fearing this when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with his, with all the Muslims, with the Muslim army, and he conquered Mecca. But, and when this Sahaba said, today is the day of taking revenge, when this words came to the ears of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he immediately called for that Sahabi, reprimanded him. He was carrying the flag of Islam. He took it away from him. He gave it to another Sahabi and he told him to make the announcement, Al-Yawma Yawmul Marhama. This is the day that we will show kindness. This is the day that we will show forgiveness. This is the day that we will show tolerance. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Mecca, this is the character. It is not just for storytelling. It is not just for lecturing. It is not just to listen, but it is for us to bring it in our lives. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Mecca, of course all the Sahaba and Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows how his own daughter was made shaheed when a spear was put through the most delicate part of her body. Everything is in front of their eyes. But Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the people of Mecca, I say to you the same which my brother Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam said to his brothers, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no revenge, there is nothing that we will question you about. Whatever you have done is a closed chapter and it is of the past. We forgive you totally. This is a great lesson for us to learn. If we will learn this lesson, we have disputes daily in our family, with our brothers, in our businesses, in all matters. And if we are not Muslims just for the sake of performing namaz, for going for hajj, we are Muslims that we bring the character and the teachings of the Quran in our lives. And wallah, if this comes in us, we will win the hearts of people. It comes in the hadith, Man tawaba'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. He who humbles himself for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise that person. In our eyes, that if I show that I won't forgive you, I'll do this to you and I'll do that to you, in our eyes that is our respect. Shaitan laughs at us. This is shaitani acts. And shaitan laughs at us. But if a person forgives, and not only forgives, if he lets go, not of thousands of rands, in order to bring a settlement and in order to bring happiness, if he lets go hundreds of thousands of rand, wallah, Allah is the giver. Allah will give that person if he wishes in this world also. Otherwise, what Allah will give in the year after is much more greater and much more superior. It comes in a hadith, if two people are arguing, and one person who is on the right, and he forgoes his right for the other person, Allah will give him a palace in the middle of Jannah. Allah will give him a huge palace in the most beautiful place of Jannah when he will forgo his right. Today, almost all of us perhaps, we are sitting here, we have got disputes with our family people, we have got disputes with other people, we are not prepared to forgive small things. Somebody insulted us or something, we are not prepared to forgive. We'll say we'll never go to the door of that person. He's my brother perhaps. It's my sister perhaps, whatever has happened, but we say we will never go. Is this the akhlaq of Islam? Is this the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We are not Muslims only to show our outward form as Muslims. This is what makes us Muslim. Together with that, my respectful elders and brothers, there is another great lesson also in this to learn, that when an argument is taking place between two people, for example, a small and simple thing. It isn't really anything serious, but we are sitting and discussing in our lounges, wherever it may be, that one person says that certain thing has happened, or he has seen a certain thing. The other person says the complete opposite. Now they start arguing with one another. And this person wants to bring his proof, that person wants to bring his proof. Very, very wise is that person who at such a time says that perhaps I saw wrong, what you saw was right. Immediately to submit that whole argument which should have taken half an hour, 1 hour, and in that argument so many more things should come out. Tempers should flare up. They should start perhaps swearing, abusing one another, one person just says, perhaps I saw wrong, what you saw was right, and that whole argument is settled. When we were studying in Mias Farm, many of us might know Maulana Iqbal Chowthia, who is in Rustenburg now, he's in business. One great lesson I learned from him, as students and as all people, many times we argue, and this I learned from him, whenever we should dispute and argue about something, he says, perhaps I read wrong, perhaps I saw wrong, perhaps I heard wrong, what you saw is right, and that whole argument just settles down there. But because of our pride, we are not prepared to do that. We want to prove ourselves right. And if in that discussion of ours, in that argument of ours, the other person brings clear proofs, yet many times our pride is such we cannot accept. And when pride does not allow us to accept that, we are now proven wrong. But we can't accept it, then we will try and come out with something else. We'll be trying to become personal with that person. We'll try and insult him, defame him in whichever way, all because of that pride that lies in us. So this is a very great lesson. Earlier this year, in the early part of Ramzan, we went with Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum to Nairobi and then afterwards for Umrah. From Nairobi, we went to Mombasa for a day. When we were traveling in that direction, the plane was empty. And the seats, it was a small plane, so the seats in front were very close by. So there wasn't enough room space for the legs. So we pushed the front seats down. This made it much more comfortable. And the crew, the members of the crew didn't object to anything, and we went to Mombasa. We returned the next night. The flight was supposed to be at 10 o'clock, it was delayed, it left only at 12 o'clock. Again, the plane was almost totally empty. And we did the same things again, we pushed the front seat down. But here the crew objected, they said it's against the regulations. And they were insistent that the seats must be put up, whether it was for takeoff or for the rest of the journey. One of the persons who were with us started arguing with the crew. And this argument lasted from Mombasa till Nairobi. Now Hazrat Hakim Sahib, with regard to the same ayat, taught us a very great lesson. When this argument was carrying on, many things were being said from both sides. When we got down at Nairobi airport, the aircraft already radioed to the people there and the police were waiting. They said there is a drunk passenger on the flight and he's fighting with us. So we reached here at 1 o'clock in the morning, it was Ramzan. So they took that passenger to the room there in the police in the airport and they started questioning and interrogating. Another hour went out there. 2 o'clock. By the time we reached our place, it was 3 o'clock. Hazrat Hakim Sahib didn't say anything, but the next day he told us that if a person learns to forego an argument, there is great goodness in it. Many times we are traveling 4 or 5 persons in a car, whatever. And then some person picks up some argument at the petrol station or at any other place. Because of that, it might go longer and longer. You start an argument. Tempers start flying, your fists are not in your control. One person hits another person, the police come on the scene. They arrest the person for assault or whatever. He might not be even guilty of anything. You were going somewhere on a Friday, for example. They jail you up till Monday morning. You have caused so much inconvenience just because you want to prove your point right. But if a person learns this lesson to forgive and to forgo and not to fall into arguments, the next day then Hazrat Hakim Sahib Damat Barakatuhum taught us this lesson and he said, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained that when a person does not fall in the arguments of mankind, he can be free for his work of ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Many times when we fall in this argument, it isn't just that argument. Now after that argument, this person's mind is working for so long, for weeks and months, I should have told him this, I should have told him that, and I should have done this and I should have done that. His namaz is also occupied in that argument. He's making tilawat of the Quran and his mind is occupied in that argument. All the time he's thinking of that and his enmity is growing. But if a person learns just to forgo and forgive and to forgo a few little things, even if it is his rightful right, he allows it to go, he will have so much peace of mind. His ibadat, he will have peace of mind. With his family that he will be staying, he'll have peace of mind. He will be proved to be the better person. Whether such arguments take place between husband and wife, between brothers, with our children, if a person learns to forgive and to forget, the great lesson which the Quran has taught us, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he told his brothers, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, that there is no revenge, no questioning about that, he proved to be a very honorable person. His brothers who hated him learned to love him. The people of Makkah at the beginning told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Na'udhu billah, that you are the most hated person in our eyes. And Islam is the worst thing in our eyes. But what was it, the character and the morals of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that those very people came and say, you are the most lovable person in our eyes. And Islam is the best deen and the best religion. It isn't just for us to speak about the character of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the teachings of the Quran. It is for us to see how much can we bring it in our lives. To whatever degree we will bring these teachings in our lives, we will see how much more peaceful our lives will become. Our minds will be much more free for the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this is a very great lesson which is given in one little phrase of the Quran. It deals with us in our lives, in our homes. It deals with us with our lives, in our businesses, in our social lives, with our friends and our broader family. It deals with us in everything. And many of us, let us think to ourselves, we have got arguments and fights with other people. And not just other people, with our family people. And the guna is so big when a person cuts relations with his families. How many of us have taken qasam that we will not go to our family? We will not speak to them. So much there are some people, they say, the sons will say they will not go to the father. We will never put our leg again in the father's house. For a Muslim to say that, how can that be possible? And if we will learn to forgive and we humble ourselves, Allah will raise that person. It comes in the hadith that in making salam, the first person who initiates the salam is more closer to Allah Ta'ala. We wait for the next person to come to us, that we will wait, we make ourselves big, but that person who makes himself small, and for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise that person. So may Allah Ta'ala give us this understanding. And if wallah, if this lesson comes in our lives, it's a small little lesson it appears, but our lives will become so much more peaceful. And without exaggeration I can say, 50, 60, 70, 80% of the problems that are still going to come ahead, we will just avert them all if we can make practice on this one great fundamental teaching of deen. And we must remember that our deen is not only ibadat. It isn't only that we give our, that we perform our namaz, zakat, hajj, etc. These are very important parts of our deen. As far as instructions and commandments in the Quran, of the about over 6,000 ayats, roughly only 500 ayats are devoted to that. The rest of the Quran is devoted to build this character of ours, to bring this right living in us. And also we must remember that Islam does not spread with our namaz. Namaz we make in the masjid where the non-Muslims don't see us. Islam does not spread by our zakat. Zakat is only for Muslims. It's not for non-Muslims. Islam will not spread with our rozas. Islam will not spread with our hajj. Hajj is made in Makkah where there are no non-Muslims allowed to come. Islam will spread by our character. And if we can learn to forgive those people in our business places, in our homes, if we can learn to forgive them, even if it is some monetary things, even if it is with regard to our respect, they insulted us. Not that we show our weakness, but that we learn to forgive for the sake of Allah, not for my respect. That is another great difference we have to make. One person read the hadith that if a person keeps quiet for 40 days, Allah Ta'ala will make the fountains of wisdom to gush from his tongue. In other words, Allah will fill so much knowledge in him that he will speak words of wisdom and knowledge whenever he opens his mouth. When he heard this, so it was something very great for him, very impressive, and undoubtedly it is. So he kept quiet for 40 days. And then now he was waiting for words of wisdom to come on his tongue. But nothing would come. Then after he waited for a while, Allah Ta'ala sent a voice from the unseen that told him, that you did not do this for the pleasure of Allah. You did this so that those words of wisdom must come on your tongue. This is what is sincerity. Not to do it for what is promised there, but to do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Like for example, we are told to read Surah Waqia, the surah after Ar-Rahman, the 27th supara, every night. Poverty will never come to that person. Now if a person reads it so that poverty doesn't come to him, there is no sincerity. He did it not for Allah's pleasure. He did it so that poverty must not come to him. He must do it solely for the pleasure of Allah, and these are the byproducts that will come, that no poverty will come to him. An example in practical terms, material terms, which is given for this, if a person buys a cow because he needs the fertilizer, he needs the dung of the cow. His mentality is very low. He has spent about 1500 rand just for fertilizer. If he buys the cow for the milk, and then the fertilizer will come by the way. So he kept his object much more greater, and he will still get the fertilizer. So if a person, for example, reads Surah Waqia for the pleasure of Allah, by the way, it will come that poverty will never come his way. In the same way, when we do these things to forgive somebody, to overlook, to show kindness, etc., if we do it solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then we will see Allah will make it that we turn out to be the better person. But if we do it to show our character that I'm a good person, that I can forgive and I can forget, and we wait for praises from people, we will get no praises and there will be no reward from Allah Ta'ala either. So when we do this, let us not do it for our credit. Let us do it for the credit of Islam. Let us do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Like for example, somebody is stuck on the road and you help that person. One is that we help that person, and one time, not about perhaps a year, 2 years ago, coming back from Rudipur, one person met up with a small little accident on the way. We stopped to see what happened, and that, or by that time things were just about sorted out. And that person whose car was damaged, and the other people who came and gathered, he already had his business card which he was giving out. Such businessmen we are, that there is an accident that took place. Nobody was hurt also, alhamdulillah. But instead of giving da'wat of Islam, to speak anything of Islam, immediately the business card was out. That in our shop we say, we serve these things, these imported articles, etc. Come, you must come to our shop and come and buy from there. When we do and help out anyone, and whatever we do, let us give the credit to Islam. Not that I stop to help somebody because I'm a good person, but my deen and Islam teaches me. The Prophet of Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaches me. One person in India, a Hindu, a non-Muslim, he rushes to the station to take a train. He comes there and the train is about to leave. He hasn't got reservation also. The conductor is there and he asks the conductor, if I get on, will I get place, will I get a reservation? On a long journey, a person must have a reservation, otherwise his journey is almost impossible. The conductor said, there is place, get on, I will sort it out for you. He gets on, the conductor gives him his place, makes out his receipt, everything, he pays for it. Then he gives some more money. That non-Muslim is giving some more money to the conductor, which is a common practice, unfortunately, in India, a little bit of a bribe, and it was, he understood that I have to bribe the conductor now, that he did not ask me for a bribe, but it's understood I must give something on top also. The conductor refused to take it. He says, no, I cannot take it. For what is this money? He says, no, it's a gift. You helped me. You were so kind. He says, no, my religion of Islam teaches me it is haram for me to take anything more. So much was due to be taken for the reservation, so much I have taken from you. Then he asked him, what is your religion? Then he said, my religion is Islam. And my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbids us to take any type of bribery, etc. This person was so impressed. He was the leader of the opposite party of the Muslims, who always caused harm for the Muslims. He went there and he made all his people understand that what Islam is and what the teachings of Islam are. So these little acts by any individual, we don't know how much they will do for the propagation of Islam. And for people to respect Islam and to come closer to Islam. So may Allah give us this type of character and morals. And may Allah make it that we ascribe it not to ourselves, not for our benefit, but that our Islam has taught us, that the Quran has taught us, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. May Allah bless us with these correct characters and morals which are so essential for our day-to-day living, which will make our lives in our homes much more pleasant, in our business places, in our social gatherings. If we get the teachings of Islam in us, it will make our lives so much more pleasurable and people will see what Islam is. And as I said, Islam is not only our ibadah, Islam is all these things also. And that is what will attract people to Islam. And it should not be what it is presently, that we are fighting for a few rands here and there, that we have taken qasams not to go to our family people. This is not at all what Islam is. All that, our namazes, etc., what is the worth of our namazes in such cases? Let us see that we purify and correct ourselves in this line and in this field as well. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Allah, Allah, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah, Allah, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Amina bibi ke gulshan mein aayi hai taza bahar. Amina bibi ke gulshan mein aayi hai taza bahar. Padhte hain sallallahu wasallam, padhte hain sallallahu wasallam. Aaj daro deewar nabi ji, Allah Allah, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Sayyid-e Makki, Mahe Madina, Pyare Nabi Ji Aay. Sayyid-e Makki, Mahe Madina, Pyare Nabi Ji Aay. Chhin liya dil Manmohan ne, chhin liya dil Manmohan ne. Chand sa mukhda dikhai nabi ji, Allah Allah, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Jibril aaye jhula jhulaye lori de rahman. Jibril aaye jhula jhulaye lori de rahman. So ja rahmat-e-alam, so ja rahmat-e-alam. Main tera qurban nabi ji, Allah Allah, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Nanhe dil ka jhula banaya tare nazar ki door. Nanhe dil ka jhula banaya tare nazar ki door. Sota hai isme maheri saal, sota hai isme maheri saal. Naam bhare anmol nabi ji, Allah Allah, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Hot gulabi hasta chehra, jhadte hai muh se phool. Hot gulabi hasta chehra, jhadte hai muh se phool. Noor ka putla chand ka tukda, noor ka putla chand ka tukda. Haq ka o pyara rasool nabi ji, Allah Allah, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Amina bibi ke gulshan mein aayi hai taza bahar. آمینہ بی بی کے گلشن میں آئی ہے تازہ بہار. پڑھتے ہیں صلی اللہ وسلم, پڑھتے ہیں صلی اللہ وسلم, آج درو دیوار نبی جی, اللہ 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 لا الہ الا ہو, لا الہ الا ہو, لا الہ الا ہو.